Hello, everyone, and welcome to CVIEW Quantum Network. I'm your presenter, Daniel, and I'm here with producer Claudia Pareco. Our opening song features Sunset Serenade by Cyclone. Albums and singles are available in all music stores and platforms. A moment of your time is one of the most extraordinary gifts we could ever be given. Each week, we create a place for you to rest your heart by providing the platform for peaceful connection to the most gifted light workers, intuitive, alternative healers who will surprise you with something different, something outside of what's expected, innovative and unique. Our shows are held on Fridays at 12 p.m. Eastern U.S. time and 9 a.m. Pacific time. At any moment to participate on our shows, please call 805-830-8344 and press 1 to talk with the host. To request a show, please write to Claudia Pareco at cview1111@gmail.com or visit our website, cview1111.net. Now, close your eyes and get in touch with the present, the only reality. Feel your body, feel your breath, and let it drift back to the present moment.
So we are so happy to have Rob here. In the topic of Ghost of Ireland on the Medium's Vacation with Rob Boutreau. And welcome, everybody. Today we are going to talk with one of the authorities of the true paranormal, and he's an author, a medium. In his latest book, which we are talking today, Ghost of Ireland on a Medium Vacation, we're going to hear Rob, as he shares his captivating experience encountering ghosts in various locations across Ireland. And all of this has been captured in his book. So for us that are planning or wishing to go to Ireland, we can actually follow the route he took in hopes that we can also see one some of those spirits. So, Rob, can you share in your life, what was that defining moment or experience that initially sparked your interest in communication with spirits?
Well, Claudia, first of all, thank you for having me back. It's great to talk to you again. I'm always very honored and happy to talk to you. So for the listeners, the first thing that really kicked off my venture into the paranormal was my grandfather's appearance to me back when I was a teenager. That scared me. And then later on in life, decades later, and when I had a puppy that passed named Buzz, he reawakened the abilities and he helped me prove how pets communicate from the afterlife. So I communicate with both pets and people, earthbound ghosts or spirits who have crossed over.
So I think, and you might say if it's true or not, when your grandfather appeared, that was a scary moment, because back then when we were growing up, talking to spirits wasn't seen as something normal or something that it was unique and applaud. But I believe that when your pet came into your life and appeared to you, then it's a much sweeter and I don't know, I think it was easier for you to handle when the pet appeared than when your grandfather did. Is that true?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Of course, I was a lot older when my dog appeared, and then when my grandfather appeared, I was only 13 years old. So, everything scared me. But it was a comfort when my dog appeared. And what's interesting is that one of my other dogs who has since passed appeared in spirit when I was in Ireland, and that's in the book too.
Wow. I so envy you too much. Like, I would love to have it. And I know that when one says something like that, people like you are always telling us, but you can do it too if you would only let it connect. And probably it's our mind that is blocking us or something, but it's like it seems like it comes so easy for you that you just pick like, okay, let's go to Ireland, and then here comes all these ghosts and people that just appear to you. It's like it seems that it's effortless, and it is for you. So
well, it's always well whenever I go on vacation, I'm not thinking about connecting with earthbound ghosts when I go on vacation. I'm just relaxed, and I'm trying to enjoy the new environment. And when you're relaxed as a medium, you have your guard down, and that's when people start coming through.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. So we were talking about the series. This is part of the series of books that you have written on different locations where you have gone to vacation. And now this one is out, and people can get it at robgottrell.com or Amazon or everywhere. Just put Ghost of Ireland on a medium vacation, and it will pop out. But what I love about this is that you can actually, like, people like me can actually use it as a really good resource, as a guide to travel to the places that you have traveled. And that is a very unique perspective of doing a book, of writing a book with ghosts on it. So what prompts you to do it this way?
So that's a good question. This is the third in my series, Ghosts on a Medium's Vacation. The first one was about England. The second one was about the Birdcage Theater in Tombstone, Arizona. And this one is about Ireland. And because I covered most of Ireland, we went to many different counties throughout Ireland. I felt that this one would be easier for readers to know what hauntings I encountered in various counties. So I organized it alphabetically by the different counties, like Clare, Cork, Galway, Kerry, Tipperary, and several others. So not only is it by county, but within each chapter, wherever you go, like the St. Nicholas Church in Galway, you will find some history there. So not only will you get the hauntings, but you'll also get the history. So it's the whole package. It's something that I would like to read as someone who travels and interested in the paranormal. I would like to find out where it is in Ireland, what it is, and what the haunting is. And that's how I wrote it. So it should be easy for people to use as a guide.
Now, what do you think it is that sets Ireland apart in terms of the supernatural energy, and were there any of the locations that left a lasting impression on you?
Sure. It reminded me, it's very much like England. I mean, there's an incredible amount of history. There were wars. There were religious wars. There were, we had people who worshiped different things. Of course, Ireland is also full of castles and prisons and so forth. And those are also different things that are in the book, castles and prisons, where I encountered various ghosts.
Yeah, you know, you're talking about the history. And so when you go back in history, Ireland is famous for many things. It comes to mind the Vikings and Odin and all of the religions that have come through those places. And I wonder, when you have that rich history and so diverse, is that something that makes it more prone for ghosts to remain, or for the energy, for the supernatural energy to be in those places more than others?
Yeah, I think that the longer civilization was around in various places, the more chance you have for ghosts, and of course the more chance you have for ghosts when there's some horrible history like wars and so forth. And you mentioned the Vikings. Absolutely, the Vikings were there, and there's some Viking history as well. I actually went to one of the oldest places in Ireland, one of the oldest historic places. It's called Newgrange. It's actually a settlement that predates the Egyptian pyramids by 400 years. It goes all the way back to 3200 BC. And there's a structure there that's really a tomb. It was actually discovered, I think, back in the 1600s when a farmer sent hired hands out to look for rocks, and then they discovered this massive tomb that was bordered by stones, by quartz. So that was fascinating, and there was energy in there, but it wasn't intelligent haunts, Claudia. It was, in fact, residual energy. Because when you think about going into like a mausoleum, for instance, modern day, people will impress their sadness within the walls as they walk in. And that's the kind of thing that I encountered when I went to Newgrange.
And so it was not one entity, but it was the residual energy of many. That's what you mean?
Yes, it was a residual energy of many. For those who don't know where Newgrange is, it's in County Meath, M-E-A-T-H, in Ireland, in the Boyne Valley, which is just north of Dublin. There's another interesting aspect too of this particular place, Newgrange, and that is on the winter solstice every year, December 21st. It's the shortest day of the year in the Northern Hemisphere. A shaft of sunlight enters the chamber from the front door, and it illuminates the main chamber of the underground tomb, and it only happens that day. So, to me, that's fascinating. I mean, they built this with the winter solstice in mind and the position of the sun, and today, I understand that hundreds of people reserve a spot on the winter solstice, which is December 21st, to see that shaft of light illuminate the tomb underground. It's pretty cool.
So every year, all of those people leave behind some of the energy in that place as well.
They do, yeah. So the living people will also bring in their energy, and their energy is usually probably anxiety and excitement that adds to all the energy from the last 3,200 years. So, you know, you can pretty much imagine the underground tomb of Newgrange as just a full with residual emotional energy there. You can feel it if you walk in, if you're sensitive.
And is that energy that is there an energy that needs to stay, or is that an energy that needs to be clear or neither? So what is your feeling about that?
So it's an energy that's going to stay. It will forever stay because the structure is enclosed, living people will continue to add to that energy as well, and it doesn't need to go anywhere. I mean, because it's residual, it's not interactive. It's not a trapped ghost, not a trapped person. It's just their emotions that linger through the centuries. So, but there are intelligent ghosts that I found in many other places.
So what is it that when you're saying intelligent ghosts, are they dumb ghosts and they are, or what do you mean by that?
Good question. It's an intelligent haunt. It, it's So there's two types of hauntings. One is residual, which is really emotions impressed upon a structure that radiate, that come out, and you feel them when you go into this, into whatever structure. The other type is intelligent haunt, and that just means that it's an actual ghost. In other words, the energy and personality and memory of a living person that stayed behind that can communicate with you in some way, whether verbally, visibly, physically. They can poke you. You can feel them move something. So that's what an intelligent haunt is.
Okay. So now we're talking about these encounters that you have. So can you give us some of the examples, or which one are the ones that got a bigger impression on you and that people can find on your book? And then if I go to Ireland and I have your book and I wish to get in contact with one of those, what do I need to do, or what would be a recommendation for you to do?
So the most haunted place that I went to is in Cork County, Ireland, and I went to the Cork City Jail, and that it's now a museum. It used to be a jail, and I didn't, I didn't expect anything, but because I was just there to tour for the history, but I ran into 8 different ghosts at this jail. And so even if you're just a little sensitive, you will go in there and you will sense a number of things. You'll sense residual energy, but you may encounter some of the ghosts that I did. Another thing, you may even not have to go into the front door to experience a ghost, because outside the front door, I found out that there used to be a gallows. That's where they used to hang some of the prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a ghost right outside in the front door before I even went in. So the reason they stay behind as prisoners is once they die, even within the prison, they will awaken as a soul, basically, energy coupled with memories, personality, and knowledge. And they may be confused and linger too long and stay and become an earthbound ghost. Or they may purposely choose to stay there because they're afraid of crossing over and going to a bad place. So when I went into the jail, there were a number of different cells that were that actually had ghosts in there. But when I went upstairs, there was a second floor. One of the ghosts shared with me pain of death, and that's what happened to the medium. They will share how they died. So when I went up to the top of the stairs, there was a ghost who conveyed that he was beaten by a guard. And he was beaten by a blunt instrument. While I was there, I sketched, there's a sketch in my book, Claudia, of the man being beaten by a guard. And it's what I saw when I connected with him. So those are in there. So that's called the drum gallery for anybody who wants to go in there. So the book also contains photographs of every single location. So you know what the location looks like, and you may see some sketches of some of the ghosts that I encountered. Plus, it was in the Cork City Jail where I captured an actual photograph of a male ghost crossing a corridor, and that is the cover of my book.
Yeah, I've seen that. So let me ask you something. When you went to that one and you saw 8 ghosts, how do you differentiate? Do they look different, each one of them, Do they have, is that an energy sense? Is that you see something like wearing a hat, and or how do you know, how do you distinguish between each other or the ghosts?
Oh, that's a good question. It's really, so it's two ways. One is reading their energy, which has their personality, and everyone is different. And the other is sometimes they will show themselves to me. So on page 33 of my book, you can see the man that was being beaten. His name was Daniel. He told me his name. And he told me what he was in there for as well. There was another ghost that I encountered in a cell, he had an interesting story. He was imprisoned, and then he was released, and then he turned to religion, and then he became a very bad person, and he used religion in a bad way to do bad things. So when he died, he went back to prison, and that he haunts that jail. So it's interesting the kinds of stories that I find from these ghosts, and then when I get home, I start looking them up to find out if there really was a name of that person and what happened to them. So I try to prove everything that I experience.
And how often are you able to find the stories behind the ghosts? Because some of them are so far away that I don't know if there's a record. So is it easy to find that proof, or is it been long hours of research, and many times there's no record of those?
Yes. I'm not always able to find them. It depends on where the ghosts are that I encountered. So prisons usually kept pretty decent records. There are decent records of people who lived in castles and so forth, but there aren't records of people, just average people who lived in dwellings. And for instance, on the in County Kerry on the Dingle Peninsula, we entered an old shop. Now that shop has been there for maybe 150 years or so, and it's been redone. And there was actually the ghost of a woman on the second floor. And there's no way that I could find out who this woman was. She showed me what she looked like. She dwelled on the second floor. She was staring out a window. She told me why she was there, at which I explain in the book. So I sketched her out, and then I took a picture of the front of the shop. So anybody that goes to the Dingle Peninsula, in the town of Dingle, will be able to find this woman, unless she crossed over, because when I left, I asked her if she would cross, and I tried to get her to do that. But I don't know who she is.
Okay, so she never gave you the name?
No. No, she did not. But she did tell me why she was there.
And let me ask you something. What is the reaction of the people, the living people, where you go and you let them on, like I don't know if you talked to the owner of the shop and you said, hey, there's a ghost in your second floor and she looks like this. And so what is the reaction of the people? Do they try to help you? Do they look you at, like, what is this weird person telling me? And usually what is the reaction of the people around? Do they know they have a ghost?
Some do and some don't. So I kind of read the living person's energy to see if I can tell them about it or ask them about it. When I went to England, I was able to do that. When I went to John Soane's museum and I encountered a ghost dog, I was actually able to talk to the people that worked there and ask them if they saw a little dog ghost running around, and they said yes, and they were willing to talk about it. But conversely, I know when I'm in a place where I can't really talk to the shop owner or people that work there, And in this particular case, I really did want to talk to the shop owner, but she was very, very busy. This is a place called the Mulcahy Shop, and it was a studio and a retail outlet that sold beautiful sweaters and scarves and other woven products. And because this ghost specifically lingered on the second floor, the shop was downstairs on the first floor, but the workshop where things were done were upstairs where this ghost lingered. So it would only be someone that went upstairs into the workshop all the time, not necessarily a retail person down on the first floor. But I couldn't find an opening to ask the shop owner if she sensed this woman. But the woman told me that the reason she was there, and she was there because she suffered from an illness that made her sweat, and she had chills and a flu-like illness, and she shared those things with me. So I felt those feelings. And I asked her why she was specifically looking out the window all the time that I was there. I was up there for a couple minutes. And she said, "I'm waiting for the doctor." So she died waiting for the doctor, which is just horrible and tragic. But just as I was about to, and I was talking to her, and I sometimes I don't realize, Claudia, that I'm talking out loud to a ghost, and I'm in a retail shop. And as I was talking to the ghost, somebody came upstairs into the workshop, and I thought, oh, I better stop talking because they're going to think I'm crazy. So then I telepathically asked her if she would go into the light. And I remember actually looking back at her, and she turned her head toward me, and she nodded. So I knew that she understood that she was dead, and that the doctor was not coming, and she had to cross over.
Oh, well, I hope that she did. You know, we were talking before the show, and I find it so much fun what you do and the things that happen in your life. And one of the things that I love about what you do, Rob, is all of these messages. There are messages of hope and of light and of wonder and proof that there is life besides the life, and how much you help people that can't or don't know how to do this to understand that there's all of this paranormal life that can be, and it's useful for us. So one of the things that, if you could share about the series, the reason behind the series that made you write all of these books and put them out and share them the way that you share them.
Sure. Well, so I have learned a lot as a medium about what happens after we die and how people who have passed, whether they choose to stay earthbound as a ghost or they cross over as a spirit, how they can communicate with us as the living. And everybody that passes that we know does want to let us know that they're okay. So, and that includes pets as well, which is why I have that series of pets in the afterlife. My other series is ghosts and spirits, and that's mostly about earthbound ghosts on paranormal investigations, but also some spirits like my dad and my mom, and some grandmothers are in there and so forth. Just to teach us that the physical life is only the first step. We go on to another step. And everybody's going to be waiting for us on the other side. And we really shouldn't be grieving so hard about their loss. We should instead embrace the love and the memories that we had with these people and these beautiful pets. And keep them alive in our hearts until it's our time when we meet them on the other side. So So that's why I write the books. I write the books to teach people, you know, what signs to look for, to give them hope and let them know that love continues. Also to let people know that there are earthbound souls that need to cross over and achieve that peace, like the people, like the prisoners in the Cork City jail. And there's a Dublin jail that I also encountered prisoners there being beaten. And they need to cross over. We need to understand that the other side is nothing but peace, love, and forgiveness. And there's no reason to fear the other side.
And, Rob, one other thing that we were talking before the show is that you're actually doing some training. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So on the side, not only do I write these books, and then I maintain social media every day for about ghosts or spirits, people or pets. I do pet readings on weekends by email, and I'm booked over a year out. But now I'm also teaching two different courses in paranormal studies in New England this spring. So. In addition to that, Claudia, I also go to animal rescues and I do fundraising lectures for the animal rescues and teach people how their pets communicate from the afterlife. So I'm so busy, I need to retire from my full-time job.
And for example, if I want to train in one of the training that you're doing, it is because I want to learn what?
You want to learn how spirits communicate with us, and why we what signs to look for. So, for people who lost human relatives or friends, they can read my books, Ghosts and Spirits Explained, or Lessons Learned from Talking to the Dead. Those will explain how it all works, and what to look for. And then there's the Pets in the Afterlife series for anyone who lost a pet, whether it's a – and it has to be a domesticated animal, dog, cat, bird, horse, ferret, rabbit, et cetera, et cetera. Those books will teach you what signs to look for. And I think by seeing the signs, it actually brings us comfort.
Yeah.
Yeah. And another thing that I can share with you, too, is that I have found that birthdays, anniversaries, and holidays are the time that spirits, the ones that have crossed over, are usually the times when they make an appearance in some way. Either they lead you to someone that looks like them, or they'll send you a bird doing something crazy in front of your window, or drop you a coin. There's so many ways. Ghosts, however, don't have that ability. Only spirits who have crossed over.
I wonder why. And you were saying that one of your dogs appeared to you in Ireland?
He did.
Can you tell us a bit about that?
Sure. So in my first book, Pets in the Afterlife, there's a chapter about my dachshund Sprite. And when Sprite passed, back in... on July 8th, 2013, I have a good memory for these dates when it comes to my kids. Sprite really loved to watch nature. And shortly after he passed, there was a yellow and black butterfly that flew into the backyard around our dogs for many minutes at a time. And normally, you know, if you have dogs, they will run and chase a butterfly. But instead... this particular butterfly was allowed to fly around our dogs the same way, the same type of way that Sprite used to walk around. He would amble around in the grass. And they didn't touch it, so I knew it was a message from Sprite. And plus, it was the very first butterfly I saw for the entire summer, even though it was the beginning of July, which is crazy. But during our trip in Ireland, I happened to be thinking of him for some reason. I kept thinking to myself, why am I thinking about Sprite? I'm in Ireland. I'm on the Dingle Peninsula. I'm in the town of Dingle looking at historic places. And so I dismissed that for a minute. And so we went into one of the shops, and the name of the shop was the Dolphin Store. You wouldn't expect to find a butterfly in a store called the Dolphin Store, but as soon as we went in, we saw jewelry inside, and the first thing we saw was a small ceramic yellow and black butterfly, which is priceless. It would not have been a sign had I not been thinking of Sprite just before I went in the store. So
that's when you made the connection that it was him.
Yes, yes. So, interestingly enough, when I took a trip and visited Germany in 2019, we were on a bus going from a boat into a town, and I was telling my partner, I said, you know, I feel like my mother is here on this trip. And he said, okay, well, you know, maybe she'll give us a sign. Well, Claudia, the bus drove by a supermarket in Germany with the name Norma on it.
Oh.
That's my mother's name. And you know, that sign couldn't be any more plain for my mother to let me know that she was on the trip with us. and I certainly didn't expect to see a huge sign with my mother's name on it in Germany, because my mother is Italian, and you know, Norma's Italian. So.
Yeah, and I mean, the exact moment that you said, "Well, she better give us a sign," and she gave you the biggest sign that you could not look away.
Absolutely. It was a nice, it was a big red sign with white lettering. It had to be probably about 9 feet wide.
And, you know, I think that is a very good sign, or not sign, lesson for people, is that ask the questions. Like, if you have a relative or someone, a pet that has passed, and you want to know if they're near you, just ask them to show you proof, to send you a sign, and be observant of what happens.
Yes, absolutely. It's just like I tell people when they want to do readings, pet readings, and they have questions. Some people will write me and say, "Does my pet agree with what I'm thinking about?" And that's not a question. That's not a question. You have to actually ask the question. although, you know, spirits can read our thoughts because they're electrical impulses of energy. When somebody sends me a note, the spirits are reading my thoughts, and I don't know what they're thinking. Those people are thinking. So, ask a question directly to your pet or your person, and they will answer you in some way.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it, because sometimes when you are having a reading, you are thinking of how to tell the question to the reader, when you actually should ask the question directly to the loved one that you want the answer from, and it would be easier than trying to say it in a way that the reader can understand.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Always best to ask a direct question.
So, Rob, you are doing a lot of readings, a lot of you're writing books, you are doing all of these things. And we were talking about life and how important it is for us to do that gives you joy. So one of the things that you mentioned is how much joy you get from doing what you do. So we are expecting to get more books. Are we expected to get more trips? Or what is it that you see in Rob's future? And I know that it's just a play that we do, because future can change at any moment, and we can just go the other way at any
sure.
moment if we wish to.
So, I actually do have 6 or 7 more books in the queue. two more about Ghosts on a Medium's Vacation, which one will be Scotland, and another will be places in the United States. And there's another pets book, and there's another paranormal investigation book. So I have a lot to share with everybody. I love getting questions from people because I answer their questions, and then I use that on social media and share them, because if one person has a question, many other people have a question.
That's right.
I just enjoy sharing things, meeting people, bringing them comfort, and just keep doing what I'm doing. On a different note, I wanted to mention one thing that's unique about this Ghosts of Ireland book, something I did not do for the other two. And that is, Claudia, this particular book has a list, a video list, and links to short videos that I made when I was at every location.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking ahead when I was in Ireland. And I made like 30 to 60 second videos. For instance, I went to St. Nicholas's Church in Galway, where I met a woman, a ghost of a woman, who stayed behind to grieve for her loved one who died in World War I. And in that, I did a little tour, a quick video tour. There was another place where I went, St. Mary's Cathedral, where I ran into a ghostly hanging corpse. And that was kind of gruesome, but I did a short video there too. So every chapter has a link to different videos, and plus there's at the end of the book there's two pages of a video list with those links. And if you get the Kindle version, you can just click on it and it will take you right to the video. So is it better?
And in those videos, can you actually see the ghost or no?
No, you just see me. and I'm talking to you about what I'm sensing, or I'm giving you some of the history of the place. So it's just a way to give people a better feel for the location in which I'm describing in the chapter.
No, and you know that is excellent, because now with the technology that we have, it's so important to do such. I was just browsing through one woman's website that is doing just that. Like she writes like you, that she writes a book. And she has this paragraph explaining the place that she's seeing. And then when you click on that, you go to the place. And when you are reading and then actually seeing, it's like, oh, now this is what he means by tall or by grain or by, you know, now you're seeing the tall grain mountain or whatever it is that you're seeing and describing. You can now see it as well. And it makes it a more profound trip.
It does. My whole purpose in writing, especially this book, is to make you feel like you're actually there. And I purposely included a photograph in every single chapter, so that you can, first of all, you can envision what I'm going to be describing to you and put yourself in that place. So it's a much to me, because I've read ghost story books for a long time, and they're just text, and it's hard when you're reading somebody else's text about a place. It's hard to envision it.
Mm-hmm.
So it really helps to have a picture, you know, whether it be the inside of a church where the hanging ghost was, or a library where a ghost walks around from bookshelf to bookshelf in Dublin, in Marsh's library. it's helpful to have a photograph. So that's why I do that. And by the way, speaking of Marsh's library in Dublin, there was a mystery. I tried to solve a history mystery behind the ghost in Marsha's library and why he was there. Because when I came home after I sensed this ghost, there were two different stories about why he was there. And I was actually able to debunk and disprove one of the stories that has been going around.
Wow. And what are you doing with that information? Are you sending that to the library, or what's the step on that?
No, it's just in my book. because it's really about paranormal circles. You know how some stories get told over and over again, and then they change over time, and and people add and color, the stories, so it's a different thing. So that's what happened, and I just brought it back to reality by citing historic documents that disprove what that one ghost story was about. And it backed up what I felt.
And Brooke, have you found, I'm thinking on those in that particular case, do the ghosts get annoyed that their story has been changed, or again changed and now it's a different story of why? Do they care?
I don't think they care so much as well. I think what they care most about is to cross over and to find peace. So as a ghost, I think they don't mind people being more aware of them, but they're hoping that somebody will come by and cross them over. So I think that's it.
And talking about that, is there a technique that you have learned to help with that, or a recommendation if any of us encounter? What is it that you recommend someone do on that case?
To help them cross over, you really need energy. So as I explained in my books, ghosts and spirits are energy, coupled with memories, personality, and knowledge. When we first die, when our physical body dies, we have a lot of energy. We have a truckload of energy, and that energy is strong enough to open a doorway to the other side and let us cross over. But as I've found, as ghosts linger a long time, their energy levels drop significantly, and over time, they don't have enough energy to open that doorway. So in terms of people helping them, really it takes at least between 2 and 5 people to generate enough emotional energy to open a doorway to the other side. Ghosts can't do it by themselves. They need to power up, and they do that by taking emotional energy or physical energies of heat, light, water, and electricity. So it's really hard. It takes a lot of effort to cross the ghosts over. And I write about that in my Inspired Ghost Tracking Case Files book. Often it took between 3 and 5 people to cross them over. But that's what I want to do. I want to help them all.
So when you travel with a group of team that can help you with that?
No, I just travel. I travel with my my other half.
And is he also sensitive and willing?
He's sensitive, not to the extent I am, but he is willing if we're in a place where we can do it. But honestly, when you're touring these public places, it's really hard. In fact, Claudia, one of the places we went in Galway, where I encountered a bunch of ghosts, was in a shopping mall. It was a shopping mall, and I didn't understand what had happened, why ghosts were lingering in a shopping mall. But when I came home and I looked up the address and property, I was able to find out exactly what happened and why those ghosts are lingering there. So that's in there too. So people can go to a shopping mall and they can run into the ghost that I ran into.
I was wondering on that area that you just mentioned, is like, I live in a place in my town where my house is supposed to be like 20 years old. So it's not old.
Sure.
But I wonder, like, it's like, well, what was in the land before? So I get there could be also places or energies or ghosts in this area, because I don't know what was before. I don't know if there was a battle here, a small battle, like just, I don't know. And I'm going to say just, but even two people is too many. But let's say three people die here, or there was an accident or something. So it could. So what I'm coming through is that any place on Earth could be a place where you can encounter ghosts, or it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, any place. I lived in a house in Kentucky that wound up being haunted by a Civil War soldier who didn't die in battle. He died of the flu. And he came to the house that I was living in because it was the closest place to where he was stationed. He was camped. So he could be anywhere.
So you could also get a ghost can choose to go to somewhere that is familiar to him, even though that's not the place that the ghost died. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
And yeah, that is mind-blowing. It's like, why would you do that? Like it makes me wonder, it's like, we are these magnificent beings of knowledge and love. So what can be happening with us in that moment that we decide not to cross over and stay here? It's mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, a lot of it comes down to people who are very, very devout to their religion, and they become afraid to cross over. And really, the bottom line is, no matter what you did in your life, please cross over, because there's nothing but love and forgiveness on the other side. There is no hell. Hell is being an earthbound ghost, and where you can't talk to anybody, where you live in isolation for eternity. So just cross over and go to paradise or heaven or whatever you want to call it, and there you'll find peace, the peace that you deserve.
Amen. Yeah, I've been reading a lot of Anita Morijani's books, and that's one of the things that she says, she's frequently saying that is there's nothing but love and compassion and understanding, and if we could only believe that and put away every belief that is not such a place of beauty and love and compassion.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely. But we're only human.
So the last question before we finish today. Many people find the idea that communicating with spirit is very intriguing and intimidating. So what advice do you have for those who might be hesitant about exploring the paranormal?
First, I would say that if you want to communicate with your loved ones, if you want to make sure your loved ones are okay, just trust your feelings. Trust what you get. Let yourself sense them. Don't discount any signs that you get. And you have to know that there is more to life than just this life on Earth.
Thank you. And so when you choose a location for your next medium vacation series, do you need to be prepared on the history, the folklore of the place before coming, or you just let it be?
No, I go in blind, really. I don't know anything about anything. And that's the way I like it. I do that with paranormal investigations, too. I don't want to know anything. And when I write these books, it's after the fact that after my trip, that's when I go back and I research the history. And that's the way I like it. Because I don't want any prior knowledge to influence the things that I get.
Thank you for that. Is there anything else that I haven't asked that you would like to share with us before we finish? And again, once you have your other books, you are welcome to come here.
Thank you so much. One other quick note that people may find interesting about the Ghost of Ireland, not only is it organized by county and there's special videos and pictures in every chapter, but there's also a past life experience that my partner had when we were near the Blasket Islands. And because he recognized something immediately that he had never seen before physically, but he had seen it before in his mind. So you may have a past life experience if you go to a place that you're drawn to and you see something suddenly that looks familiar, that's historic. So you'll get a whole bunch of things in this book, and I hope you enjoy it. You can find it on Amazon. My website's robgutrow.com or petspirits.com, and I look forward to connecting to everybody. And thank you so much, Claudia.
Thank you as well, and have a wonderful weekend. Everybody, thank you for being here. Enjoy your – we hope that March is another excellent year, the month on this year, 2024. And we thank you for coming here. Share. And look for our other episodes with Rob Boutreau. Thank you, Rob, for being here and for everything that you do.
Thank you.